your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to another episode of Alchemy. I'm really excited today to welcome Rick Gillis, president of the Tinley Beverage Company. Rick, it's so awesome having you on the show, man.
Well, I'm certainly grateful to be a part of it, and I appreciate the opportunity, Jeff.
Absolutely. I've really enjoyed our most recent conversations, and it was great to meet you through Brian Kaplan, and love what you guys are doing. But, you know, for everyone who's tuning in now, Tinley Beverage, you know, develops, manufactures, and distributes beverages in California and across the United States. They've got a number of brands. You might have drank them before. You know, really excited to talk to you today, Rick. And, you know, I think one of the things that is really exciting, I think, from your background is, you know, you come from years of experience, you know, in food and beverage, from Coca-Cola to Dean's Foods to Young's Market, you know, and you have this incredible history, you know, and now you guys over at Tinley, you've really kind of turned into this, you know, major player in the cannabis beverage space. So I think, you know, just to kick off the show, I'd just love for you to talk to everybody right now, really on the story behind the company and the story of how you guys started to really get into the cannabis beverage space as well.
Well, there's a lot to unpack there, Jeff, but I'm happy to give some top line understanding of the company, you know, what we exist to do. Mm-hmm. And I think, simply put, you know, the company was founded, almost 5 years ago, all on the premise of providing, call it, healthier and fun alternatives for adult consumers that currently, you know, imbibe in beverage alcohol drinks. And we all know alcohol is a huge, huge industry. I think it's north of $250 billion now. And it survived on a very, very viable platform called social acceptance. Mm-hmm. But you don't necessarily drink alcohol, you know, for an onset like people do engage in cannabis. Now, some people do drink alcohol for an onset, but, you know, for most of us, it's really not a welcome, you know, reaction, right? Who wants a headache and a hangover? But frankly, beverages have really prospered because it's an occasion-based experience, and it has a lot to do with taste, the people you're with, the event you're celebrating, so on and so forth. But our founder, Jeff Macer, was never a big fan of alcohol, but has always been a big fan of cannabis, much prefers, you know, the onset that you enjoy from a cannabis experience versus an alcoholic one. But one thing great about alcohol drinks is a lot of them taste really good. And if you're into wine, I mean, you can get really deep into all the attributes and how it pairs with food and so on and so forth. No different than a cocktail or beer. And we all know what's happened to beer and the proliferation of IPAs and stouts and all the different choices that are available. But, you know, the key question that our founder asked himself 5 years ago was, wouldn't it be cool if you could actually mimic the taste of an alcoholic drink, but enjoy a cannabis experience versus an alcoholic one? And that was the key question, is how can you, you know, make a cannabis drink? Mm-hmm. And then that led to the, you know, the key challenges that we're in front of, not just, you know, our company, but the industry as a whole. When you say the word cannabis or marijuana, nobody really thinks of drinking it. It's right. Really been for decades, you know, a smokable experience. And for the scientific fact that, you know, all the cannabinoids, whether it's THC or CBD, they're not water soluble. So, you know, it's kind of like salad dressing, oil and water don't mix. Mm-hmm. So it's fat soluble. So that's why cannabis made its way into edibles. And that is a certain fast growing category for sure. And in some ways, I mean, COVID has had a lot of influence over the past year on other forms of cannabis because it's a respiratory disease. And so you really shouldn't be smoking anything, you know, cigarettes, joints, whatever, vape pens, that can exacerbate the feeling of, you know, being ill. But anyway, thanks to some pretty progressive PhDs a few years ago, they figured out a way to manipulate the molecule through nanotechnology. And so all of a sudden, voila, we can now have a great tasting beverage that is bioavailable. And said another way, that means that it's fast acting. And that means that, you know, just like alcohol, a cannabis beverage, you know, does a quick path through your liver into your bloodstream. And it doesn't take long before it, you know, goes through the brain barrier, hits the brain receptors, and, you know, your brain begins telling you something that, hey, you're starting to feel a certain way. It's no really different than alcohol. If you drink quite a bit of alcohol, you're going to hit those same receptors. They're going to tell your brain that something's happening in the chemistry in your body. But for cannabis, it's a really pleasurable experience. And depending on your level of tolerance, you can really dose or enjoy the level of dosing that's going to be commensurate with what your body wants to enjoy. Some people have high tolerance, and 50 milligrams is a, you know, is a warm up. And people that are, you know, frankly new or kind of curious to the industry, they're going to feel something with 2 or 5 milligrams.
50 milligrams is a warm up. I'd be on the floor.
Some people need 50 to warm up, but you're talking about enthusiasts and demics that are really quite experienced. And, you know, the more you enjoy cannabis, you know, the more your tolerance level, you know, increases. But, you know, we basically entered into the industry. Goodness, it's been about 3 years now that we first started with a hemp extract product. This was before California went adult rec. But as soon as 2018 came around, you know, that's when the company engaged in, you know, our first launch of a beverage, and that was a margarita. And we all know margaritas still the number one selling cocktail in America. So what better drink than to mimic than a margarita, but remove the alcohol and infuse a microdose of THC. And that's frankly how the company, you know, began, was with a margarita and a Moscow Mule. And we also, you know, we use the same flavoring extracts, botanicals, you know, flavoring constituents and ingredients from the same flavor houses that liquor companies use. Only we don't put, you know, the alcohol in or the distilled spirit. We in turn then infuse a nano encapsulated emulsion that is beautifully, you know, distributed within the liquid because it has gone through nanotechnology. So it basically makes it water soluble. And off we went. You know, we got into about 21 dispensaries in the first couple of months. The brand took off. Mm-hmm. But the other key challenge, and this led to a, you know, a second and very important part of our business model, is there isn't a whole lot of, you know, scaled infrastructure for beverage manufacturing for cannabis drinks. And, you know, mainstream players like soft drink and alcohol companies can't engage in cannabis because it's illegal at the federal level. So this all goes through the California Department of Public Health. And therein lies, you know, the next key opportunity for the company. And that was to become the destination, if you will, for contract manufacturing in a very scaled and automated way. And I'm sitting here in Long Beach in our 20,000 square foot facility that we have built out to solve the infrastructure challenge for, you know, scaled high quality beverage manufacturing. So that now has become a major, major focus for us. You know, we certainly love our alcohol inspired line of cocktails and elixirs. But now a big part of our company is the fact that, you know, we can actually make everybody's drinks. Here in Long Beach, we've got a fully automated bottling line that can do 1 million bottles a month. We've just installed a mini line so that we can manufacture, you know, your little 2 ounce, 5-hour energy style shot sizes. We can do everything from 2 ounces up to 10 ounces on that line. I've got literally orders to do a couple million a year already, and others are coming. We're in the process of finishing out the installation of a tunnel pasteurizer. That's important so that we can embrace, you know, de-alkalized beer products in addition to products that want to claim clean ingredients with no preservatives. So a tunnel pasteurizer is a great kill step solution for those formulas. And we're also in the process of installing a can line. So a lot's happening here on the beverage manufacturing side for cannabis drinks.
Yeah, I would say you guys are busy. A couple of things I wanted to talk to you about today. And I think this is just from a trending perspective, this is something that we're seeing across the board. But, you know, I've actually been reading a bunch of studies about this, and I think even myself, I've even experienced this. But, you know, we're starting to see, you know, there's a ton of consumers that are really starting to substitute alcohol with cannabis. You know, obviously one more legalization, you know, happening across states, it's more accepted. And some are actually, you know, turning completely, you know, to cannabis and, you know, not drinking anymore. I think we saw in early part of the year, like dry January, it was very prevalent. Like everyone I talked to, they're like, dry January, but I'm still doing cannabis. So I'm just thinking from you, and you guys obviously are creating products that are, you know, are good, I guess, replacement in the sense that people still want to drink with friends and have a good time, but also, you know, still want to get a buzz. You know, how do you think consumer attitudes to alcohol will continue to change and evolve as more and more legalization happens, and then soon federal legalization? You know, I think you guys are kind of leading the pack, at least of having a wide range of different products. Do you foresee other people really getting into this space? I know you've been in the beverage space for a long time. I'm just curious what your thoughts are around that. And, you know, there certainly is a trend that's happening right now.
Well, there's no question. There is a trend. And I like to say that our portfolio bridges between both the cannacurious consumer that is looking to, you know, come into the cannabis industry, but want to do it in a way that is comfortable for them. So this notion of microdosing is very, very popular, particularly with folks that are new to the industry. And then you've got people that are opting out of certain alcohol occasions and wanting to enjoy a cannabis experience. But there's no question there's another key consumer trend happening, you know, and a lot of people refer to it as sober curious. I like to think about it as people drinking, you know, frankly, less alcohol, less potent alcohol, products that have lower ABV. Think of the hard seltzer craze. A lot of those products are lower in alcohol beverage volume. And then you've got a lot of people that aren't drinking at all. And you mentioned the month dry January, there's dry July, there's sober October, there's no beer for a year. There's a lot of interesting trends happening. And frankly, most of them are starting in places like London, in the UK, in Sydney, Australia, in Berlin, Germany. There is a huge, huge groundswell of really high quality products that are being developed, again, that are alcohol in style, but with no alcohol in them. Brands like Seedlip, Liars, Ritual. And then, of course, it didn't take us long to realize that we had a winner on our hands because we already developed 8 products that have no alcohol, but taste like those alcohol counterparts. So we've mimicked cinnamon whiskey, coconut rum, amaretto, Kahlua. And of course, we have developed a great tasting gin and tonic, a Paloma, a Margarita, a Moscow Mule. Again, all 8 of these SKUs have no alcohol, but they taste really, really good. They're vegan, they're gluten-free, they're all natural, there's no artificial coloring, they're kosher. And they're very, very low in calorie and sugar. And those are really important points in today's, you know, consumer decision tree choices. But sober curious is an $18 billion category worldwide, and it's growing at about 43%. And you think about folks that are placing a major bet on this trend. I mean, folks like Diageo that took a big position with Seedlip. Think about Heineken 00. They're spending, I think, north of $50 million on that campaign. I mean, it's different. There's a different consumer acceptance to what it might have been, I don't know, two or three decades ago when O'Doul's launched. And we, you know, a lot of people laughed at it, said it was near beer. And frankly, people didn't feel comfortable at a party holding a near beer. Today, it's different. It's a whole different consumer. And frankly, younger people aren't as interested in jumping, you know, feet first into alcohol, and frankly are enjoying a cannabis experience. But again, products that are non-alcoholic are quickly being seen as acceptable in that party atmosphere. So there's a lot of changing dynamics with consumer trends and what they're finding to be acceptable for their lifestyle. A lot of it has to do with lower calorie, lower sugar, products with lower ABV. But we launched our Beckett's brand a little over a year ago, and we're seeing great success on our e-commerce platform. We just signed on with a major TV reality show star named Todd Chrisley, who was frankly hunting the market for a product that he could launch within the content of his show to get people to stop drinking alcohol and engage in something more, you know, fun and a less, you know, risky circumstance. But bottom line, we're basically in a three-legged, you know, business model over at Tinley that really started as a cannabis beverage that led to a manufacturing solution for the industry. And then, of course, as a consequence of our delicious eight products, we found a solution for sober curious consumers and decided to launch a product on a national level that doesn't have the challenges associated with it being federal illegal like cannabis is.
Let's shift gears a little bit, because I think I want to talk to you a little bit about your approach to packaging and labeling. And obviously, you know, when you're operating in the world of cannabis, you have to make sure that you're really staying compliant when it comes to that. So, like, talk to us about how you guys really navigate your labeling process, and how are you staying compliant and all of those great things?
Well, that's a great question. And I can tell you, we have got deep expertise. I would consider it part of our IP is the fact that we are very in tune with the regulatory structure in California, and it's an evolving structure. I think many know that there's a consolidation happening in California, basically merging the three agencies of the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Public Health, and the Bureau of Cannabis Control into one department called the DCC, the Department of Cannabis Control. And that should be done sometime later this summer, but that's been a key plank on the governor's desk over the last 18 months. I think in many ways that's going to simplify the regulatory policies and procedures that California has built. But it's been a bit rigorous. I won't tell you that it's been easy because we've navigated through that, through all the different, you know, labeling challenges and packaging requirements. I mean, to give you an example, you know, we're not allowed to show liquid in our products. So you've got to use opaque packaging. Oh. And we've done that in a number of creative ways. Our products today are in standard amber bottles, but there are certain labeling requirements, things that are very important in terms of how we communicate with consumers about what's in that product. And we go through a rigorous set of food science and safety standards to make sure that what we're producing is going to, one, be a high quality, sustainable product that consumers can count on that same taste experience each time. But there's also an important deliverable in cannabis in that there's an expected onset that it's going to make you feel a certain way depending on that, you know, that dosing that's going to be a psychoactive reaction for a consumer. And in cannabis, you can go not that many ways. I mean, there's a lot of shaping and evolving science around terpenes and plant strains, but most of the time you're choosing between a product that's infused with sativa terpenes, which are more uplifting, euphoric type psychoactive effect, or you go the indica route, which a lot of people refer to as indica couch. That's going to be more of a chilling reaction. But We're very, very good at the regulatory side. Again, we're a publicly held company and we do everything in accordance with the law. That's never compromised. And that's a key pillar of us being a high quality destination for contract manufacturing. That's something that we engage deeply with our clients. In fact, we take that responsibility to make sure that whatever we're producing, whatever is on that label is going to pass, you know, a rigorous regulatory compliance check. But that is, frankly, part of our IP. We've refined that over the last 4 years, and it's something we're very, very good at.
Awesome. Now, from a distribution perspective, where can people buy these products?
Well, there's a lot of ways to buy the products in California. I mean, there are, gosh, close to 700 dispensaries now, more mm-hmm. open up each and every year. But there's also a pretty vibrant direct-to-consumer route where our products can be purchased online. And there's a lot of dispensaries that do their own, you know, direct-to-consumer fulfillment. We're part of any and all of those routes to market. But our sales and distribution partner, we've got a really, really strong relationship with a company called Mars that handles all of our first and last mile logistics. And we're also partnered with a company called Headquarters Cannabis, which is a sales and marketing agency that is very cutting edge, that really understands the framework of the dispensary channel. I mean, beverages are still a bit of a challenge for the retail world. I mean, it's not like you're walking into a bunch of convenience stores or 7-Elevens where you can go grab vault doors and start, you know, shopping for products. It's very much a concierge approach. And it needs to be at this stage because there's a lot of education required, and bud tenders really become the, you know, the subscription model, if you will, the gateway to the consumer. And we spend a lot of time educating bud tenders on our products, the category, making sure they get to try the experience so they can be educated to inform consumers that are, you know, they're curious around cannabis and the choices that are available, whether it's a smokable, an edible, or a drinkable. But there's a very exciting path forward for the cannabis-infused beverage industry. And if you think about the way edibles have been growing, I mean, flower's been declining for many years now. You know, vape pens have become an alternative to smoking, but so have edibles. And certainly cannabis-infused beverages. We're hovering in the 3-5% range of the total cannabis industry in California. I've seen that grow from less than 1%. Just in the last 2 years. We look north in Canada, where cannabis beverages have been legal now for over a year, about a year and a half. They're now comprising a 23% share of the edibles category, and they're almost at a double-digit share. So if you translate that to California, which is soon to become a $5 billion industry, and cannabis drinks, I believe in the next year, will be at 10%. You're talking a $500 million category that has nothing but growth in sight. You think about the states that are falling in. There's 15 adult recreation states approved today. We're now hearing about New York and Vermont and Virginia. I mean, the list goes on and on. On medicinal, there's now 35 states that are legal. So, you know, with the new administration, we see a lot of tailwind happening on the legislative side. I mean, the MORE Act could very well pass. That's the Marijuana Opportunity Reinvestment and Expungement Act. That could very well move cannabis from a class one in the Controlled Substance Act to a class three. That will open up a lot more research and study. I think you'll see decriminalization happen. Maybe at the federal level, but there's no question this is a freight train coming through the country. I mean, here Mexico's probably the next, will be the next largest country in the world to legalize adult rec. I think that's still going through a few more legislative approvals down there, but that one's very close. But I think this is an exciting time for the industry. I think it's only going to grow and get bigger and bigger. And people are beginning to understand that, you know, the cannabis plant has probably been one of the most misunderstood plants in the world. The fact that we're in a business that can deliver value to consumers on both the recreational side and the health and wellness side. And that's pretty fascinating. And the fact that thanks to science and technology that you can now enjoy cannabis as a beverage occasion really lays a pathway for, you know, destigmatizing the industry and people enjoying, frankly, as a, I think, a more enjoyable onset than I would ever want from an alcohol experience. And that in many ways is going to be a trigger for, you know, just the fact that it can be on a social acceptable platform like alcohol is. I think there's nothing but a bright future for cannabis infused beverages. And I'm super excited to be part of it. And with a company that is doubling down on providing the gateway to the category through an amazing facility here in Long Beach that is set up to do, you know, whatever drinks you can think of, we'll be able to make them here at Long Beach. And it's just a super exciting time.
That's awesome. So Rick, before we go, I just had a couple of questions on some of your products. So, you know, looking at some of the tonics, so you guys have High Horse, which is spicy ginger, lime, and pineapple with pineapple jack sativa. And you've got Stone Daisy, which is blue agave and lime. You've got Juniper Sky, which actually sounds delicious, juniper berries tonic. And then you've got Mystic Dove with grapefruit and blue agave. And they all sound amazing. But I'm curious from a consumer standpoint, like what's the most popular? I feel like the, for me, in case you're wondering, like the Mystic Dove sounds delicious too. That sounds like a really high performing drink.
Well, let me tell you, what you've just listed out is our four ready to drink tonics. Again, we dose 5 milligrams of THC in that 12-ounce serving. They're 30 calories, 5 grams of sugar. And we love our names because, you know, one of the rules in cannabis in California is you can't use alcohol terms. So right. you called attention to Mystic Dove, and that, if you know anything about Spanish, Dove in Spanish means paloma. And we all know a paloma is tequila and grapefruit soda. And so we've concocted that drink to taste just like a paloma, only with no alcohol, with a microdose of THC. That's my wife's favorite, is the Mystic Dove. Our number one seller is actually the High Horse, which is code for Moscow Mule. And that that won the WeedCon Best Beverage as a cannabis event. And we also won the most coveted award for any cannabis competition is the Emerald Cup. And our High Horse Moscow Mule came in first. But those are delicious drinks. I mean, the Stone Daisy, Daisy in Spanish is margarita, not necessarily the cocktail, but a woman's name. That's a fun drink. And then the my favorite, actually, is the Juniper Sky, because I'm a big gin and tonic fan, and we've concocted that one. Frankly, because I love gin and tonics, we started to formulate a product that tastes just like a gin and tonic, only it's got cannabis in it, and it's absolutely fantastic. So those are the four tonics. But, you know, the elixirs we make, those are fun to make your own cannabis-infused mocktails, and we put those drink recipes on our website, but you know, there's a lot you can do with these. Again, it's an exciting drink to bring to a party. You can literally get everybody excited and very intriguing to walk in with, you know, our coconut cask, which we've modeled after coconut rum, makes some delicious cannabis infused mocktails. But again, microdosing, it's, you know, people ask, well, how's it going to make me feel? It's going to give you a body chill, a nice little body high. That lasts, you know, takes about 15 to 20 minutes to get into what I would consider a full onset. And then that would last, you know, about an hour, hour and a half. But, you know, you could have a couple of those and be at the party and have a really good time. But it's got a nice gradual offset and, you know, a low calorie, low sugar experience. I think we're onto something here, Jeff.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, one thing that I thought was super cool, too, when I was kind of going through all of your different products is, you know, your tonics that have the, you know, THC, you know, they kind of look almost like beer bottles. And you have, like we talked about before, you have to be really careful on what you have on there. But then your tonics that are not infused with anything and not alcoholic, the cans are like super, they're beautiful and, you know, they have more of a, you could be more playful, obviously, because you don't have to follow the regulations on either side. So,
no, I mean, the Beckett's brand, that's the branding we use on our mainstream Beckett's. Again, it's the same SKUs that we use on the cannabis side under the Tinley's brand name. But the Beckett's drinks, I mean, they are beautifully designed for a sober curious experience, or you can use them as a mixer. You don't necessarily have to be sober curious to, I mean, I like the Stone Daisy margarita. I love margaritas, but I don't always get them because of the calorie and the sugar content. But I like ours, 30 calories and a 12-ounce drink with 5 grams of sugar. I'll put my own shot of Jose Cuervo in there. But it's a versatile, you know, lineup. But I think we're doing a pretty cool job, particularly entering into that non-alc space where basically beer and wine have been around for a while, but pre-made non-alc cocktails is kind of a new thing. And how great it'll be to have those available in bars and restaurants now that we feel like the country's opening up again, we're going to be able to bring some new life to consumers, you know, on that drinks menu when, you know, a lot of times designated drivers and people that don't drink don't have a tremendous amount of choice, and kind of sad for a bar to settle on a glass of water or an iced tea. They're not making much margin on that. But if we can imbibe the Beckett's experience there, I think it's a nice complimentary feature for those folks that go to restaurants and bars and frankly don't want to drink alcohol.
For sure. Well, this is super exciting, and congrats on everything. And you know, when I'm out in California next, we're going to get together, and I definitely want to do some taste testing because I'm in New York, so this is not available yet here, but I'm excited to try them because they really do look delicious.
Well, I've got plenty of samples for you, Jeff, and it's been an absolute pleasure spending time with you. I'm grateful for the opportunity, and you can tell I've got a lot of passion for this industry. And I love to tell the story, and I'm super grateful that you gave me the chance today to do just that.
Absolutely. Well, Rick, it was great having you on, and I look forward to seeing you in person soon.
Count on it. Thanks, Jeff. Take care and be safe.
You too.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.